Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener again today. We're talking about how to break the power of the enemy in your life and how to overcome him, how to resist him, and how to walk in obedience to God's mighty word. Let's come to the Father. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for this mighty book, the magnificent promises and the blessings that you spoke over us in this book. I am so grateful for what our Savior did 2,000 years ago and the power he's given us over the enemy. Now, Father, in Jesus' name, reveal these things to us as we go through today. As we study the Word, reveal the truths of the Word of God to us and teach us who we are in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now then, we had just last session we talked about this magnificent promise. I mean, one of the most powerful verses in the entire Word of God, which is Luke chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. Where Jesus said, "Behold, I give unto you power or authority to trample or tread on the devil and his demons. All power is given to you over them. They shall in no wise hurt you. Nevertheless, you don't have to rejoice in this, that those evil spirits have to be subject or obey you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." I read that verse. I studied that verse. I could not get revelation on what that meant. I thought, "Behold, I give you power to travel on the serpent and his scorpions." I thought, who is the serpent and his scorpions? I'm not going to step on a snake, and I'm definitely not going to play with no scorpions. But this book is a spiritual book. This book's talking about spiritual things. This book, when you go back to the Greek and read this, you'll find out there that serpent in the Greek is called Satan. That's a devil. And the scorpions are his demons, those that pierce the body. Those demons can come right into your body and pierce your body when you give them legal right. But until you give them legal right, they cannot touch you. Jesus gave us all power. So all power is given. All power is given to Jesus. Everywhere. All power is given to Jesus everywhere. I mean, it says in the Word, he went back to heaven and is seated at the Father's right hand. And we are the body. He's the head. We are to exercise our authority on earth and get things done. Now, most of the things we pray for and beg God for is already ours. Now, I learned that the hard way. All we have to do is speak it and believe it. Now then, I want to go to Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And I want to see there about this all authority. I said that all power is given to Jesus. Well, the confirmation of that is in Matthew 28, 18. It says, "And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power or all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth." He says, after, because of this all power that's been given to me, he said, "Then go you, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." And then he says, "And teach them, the new converts, to do everything I have commanded you to do." Now, most people never read that verse. It's like we don't get that. Just think. Jesus said all power in Matthew 28, 18, 19, 20. All power, not a little bit of power, all power, every bit of power is given to me. Now then, I have overcome the enemy. I have defeated him totally, completely. I have regained the earth back to myself. Now then, I take dominion, I take authority, and for my children, the children of God, I give you and delegate this power and this authority to you. So you go in my name, and you baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and you command them, the new converts, to do everything I have commanded you to do. And I've commanded you to cast out demons, cleanse the lepers, heal the sick, and do all these wonderful things in my name. That's amazing. That's just like the other night I was teaching, and a man came to me in another city, and he came to meet me, and he told me, he said, "I have studied the Word of God, I have listened to your teachings, and I've learned the exact principles that you use to get people healed. And he said, I went the other night to a friend of mine that had cancer. And he said, I showed him what to do and what he had to do and how he could stand in faith. And he said, the man was healed. He said, praise God. He said, I want to just meet you, shake your hand, tell you thank you for teaching me these great and awesome principles. Well, let me tell you, I learned these great and awesome principles reading the Word of God. And you can do the same thing. But I'm so grateful that the Lord revealed these things to me and that I can teach them maybe to you in a very simple way. Because I go take a whole bunch of scriptures from all over the Bible and I bring them together and tie them together and I show you what God says. But that's what He told us to do. He told us to go and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then He says, and to teach the new converts to do everything I have commanded you to do. Well, now Jesus commanded His disciples to cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, save the lost, heal the sick, and all those things. All that power and all that authority belongs to you and me as Christians. Now then, if we have that kind of power, we have that kind of authority, then why in the world are so many people lost? If Jesus come and all power is given to Him, the devil's been defeated, and He come to save the whole world, then why isn't the whole world saved? Why don't more people get saved when we tell them about Jesus? You know, we talk to people about Jesus. We pray. We do everything. And so many people that we talk to, can you ever stop to think about, you walk up to somebody, maybe a nice man or a nice lady, and you see they're not saved. They don't go, you ask them, do you go to church? No, I don't go to church. I don't believe in that stuff. Well, you start telling them about Jesus. You tell them how wonderful He is. You tell them what He did. You tell them He died on a cross for them. Best documented event in history. He was raised from the dead. He walks, you know, among us. And He's given us eternal life. Everything belongs to us. And you tell them it's the best thing ever happened to you. And that when we die, not only do we have the privilege to have a blessed life here, if we learn about Jesus, but when we die, we get to go to heaven instead of going to the flames of hell to burn forever. Wouldn't you like to make Jesus Lord of your life? Nah, I'm not interested. They didn't hear a thing you said. They didn't believe nothing you said. Why? I used to ask that question. Why? Then one day, God took me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, and I found the answer. I want you to see what that says. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4 says, but if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost or those that are perishing, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds. Think about that. In whom the God of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Wouldn't you meditate on that a little while? In fact, I was teaching that in a healing school years ago. And when I said, the God of this world has blinded the minds of people. The God of this world. I said, who do you think that is? And there's a lady there. She said, well, that's God. I said, yeah, it's God, all right, but which God? She said, there's more than one God? I said, oh, yeah, there's lots of gods and lots of lords. I said, he's not talking about God the Father right there. He's not talking about Jesus. He's talking about the devil. She looked at that and she said, I cannot believe he's talking about the devil. He said, God. I said, yeah. He said, the God of this world. She had no idea that scripture was talking about the devil. Now, why in the world, if that was talking about God, why would God blind the mind of people He come to save? Doesn't make any sense, does it? But it goes to show you how the devil can blind your mind even as a Christian. Well, she was a Christian. The devil. He's blinded our minds to the truth. It says there, because if we believed, we would all get saved. If our minds were not blinded by that devil, everybody on the earth, the first time they heard about Jesus, would want Jesus. Because that's what their spirit's looking for, Jesus. So if that devil wasn't blinding your mind, then you'd be a Christian. He's doing a pretty good job. I don't know what the ratio of proportions are, but I know it's extremely high, those that appear to be lost to those that are saved. I even wonder sometimes about those that live in the church. Some of the most wonderful people turn out to be some of the most devils I ever saw. So, there's a spiritual battle going on the earth. And the devil is blinding a lot of people's mind. Just like this man in Acts chapter 3, verse 6. It's amazing how the devil can get into people and cause sickness and disease and bind up their legs and make them where they can't walk and everything. But we have an example of this, and we have power and authority. Now, Peter, he knew his power and authority. He had walked with God for those few years, and he had seen the Lord. He had ate with him. He had slept in the same place he slept. And I'm sure those guys slept out on the ground together many a night. I'm sure they prayed together, because I know Peter saw the miracles that Jesus did when he was on the earth. Wow, what miracles. Then Peter said in Acts chapter 3, to show you about the authority and power that he knows he has. Before I read verse 6, there was a man that had been crippled since birth. This man was carried every day to sit at the temple to beg for money. He was carried there because usually the people going into the temple, the church, where they were more compassionate than the people of the world. So they brought the man to church and set him down out front. But it's a shame nobody knew who they were, so the man continued to be sick. He was handicapped, and he's holding out his hands when Peter walked by. Peter and John are going to the temple to worship, and he says, alms, I need some money. And Peter said to him in verse 6, silver and gold I do not have, but such as I have I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, this man knew his power, his authority, and his dominion in the name of Jesus. That man looked up at Peter. Peter looked down and grabbed his hand, and he said, I said, get up and walk in the name of Jesus. And he jerked that man up. When he jerked that man was instantly healed, and he was delivered. I think about the faith that it takes to do something like that. When the power of the Holy Ghost comes up on you, I've seen a case similar to that myself. A few years ago,
we have to stop right there, but if you'd like these teachings in their entirety, if you would give us a call at 940-242-2106, 940-242-2106, or you can go to the web at www.tlsm.org, and there you can order all these things free and postpaid. And remember, Jesus is Lord.